I have one thing to say to you. Kiss my fat ass.
Hello, gorgeous and flawless listeners. It is I, Emily Lubin. Welcome back to RAP Diets. It's been a while. It has really been a while, and I apologize. Oh, look at me coming with my tail between my legs on my own goddamn podcast. I feel like I have a little bit of explaining to do. So when I picked this podcast back up, I was like, this is great. I miss this community so much. I'm going to go balls to the wall. Sorry, my dog started barking out of nowhere. Shut up, Yachts. I love you. I really love you. Your mama's pride and joy. I picked up this podcast. Ooh, I had to check myself just then. Where was I? I picked this podcast back up because I missed this community so much. I missed you guys so much. I felt like I still had more to say. In case you aren't aware, I do host a podcast for Betches now. It's called Diet Starts Tomorrow. And actually, we are in the process of changing the name because the name seems to attract the wrong kind of listener. The listeners that just want to be skinny and they want to listen to a podcast on how to get skinny. And that's very much not what we do. It's similar to this show in that it's anti-diet culture and trying to expose all the ways that diet culture fucking sucks and makes us feel less than. So the name didn't really suit the project anymore. Anyway, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. I wasn't planning on talking about this. Verbal diarrhea, that is my affliction of choice. It's my cross to bear. But anyway, we record that podcast twice a week. There's two episodes a week. And for some reason, I felt compelled to start this podcast up again, which originally was once a week, but we all know that it has not been once a week in quite some time. It's a very sporadic podcast. And it's not because I can't keep up with doing a weekly podcast on top of doing a semi-weekly podcast. It's more that the subject matter has become a little bit difficult to talk about nonstop and to plan nonstop what I'm going to talk about. When I started this show, I was in a very isolated place, and it was during the pandemic, and I needed an outlet essentially to talk about all this stuff that I was just waking up to and becoming really, really angry at, things that I had observed throughout my life that always led me to believe that I was the problem. And then suddenly in my mid to late 20s, I was like, wait a second, I'm not the problem. Society is the problem. Diet culture is the problem. And I need to shout it from the rooftops and I need to let everybody know. And that's what this show was originally. And also a way to introduce people to intuitive eating that was not intimidating, that didn't feel academic, that didn't feel like, oh, I have to go read a whole textbook to understand it, even though I do recommend you read the book. And on Diet Starts Tomorrow, we just interviewed one of the co-writers of Intuitive Eating. So you need to go listen to that if you're interested in intuitive eating. She answered a lot of our burning questions. Anyway, it has become a little bit challenging to be vulnerable in this way, not only on my podcast, but on a network podcast three times a week. You know, it's a lot. But I still love doing this podcast. I don't want anybody to think that I'm over this podcast or I don't like it or I don't appreciate you guys listening for years and supporting me throughout this journey. I need to stop saying journey. Because I feel like you can't say it unironically anymore. The very word itself makes people cringe, myself included. I make myself cringe when I say the word journey, but I don't know another word for it. So let me noodle on that for a little bit and I'll come back with a new word that is a little less gag reflex. But yeah, it is hard for me to be in that mental space so many times per week of talking about these vulnerable things and talking about diet culture. And, you know, I still get fired up. And sometimes I feel like there's so much I want to talk about. Like today, there's so much I want to talk about. So bear with me during this bout of verbal diarrhea. I'm sure it will pass very, very shortly. It made me think about, I used to watch this YouTuber back when I was like 25, 26, and she did recovery content. And a lot of it was about intuitive eating, but also just being a young girl recovering from an eating disorder. This person lived in LA. I lived in New York, obviously. I still live in New York. But I just found that she was fairly similar to me, around the same age, dealt with similar issues, was now trying to be an intuitive eater. And she did recovery blogs. And she did a lot of them. I mean, she worked her ass off, is what I'm trying to say. And then a couple years in, I got so upset because my favorite recovery vlogger decided to not only stop doing recovery vlogs, but she deleted all of her recovery vlogs off of her channel. And I didn't understand at the time. And she made a video that was like explaining why she was going to pivot into different types of content and why she deleted all those videos. And essentially she said, you know, it's not great for my recovery to be constantly talking about this stuff and to have other people feel free to comment on my recovery. And that was a lot of responsibility that she felt she was putting on herself. And the content was just not inspiring to her anymore because she was at a place in recovery where it wasn't really the healthiest to be thinking about it all the time and talking about it all the time. This is all to say, at the time, I was really upset and I didn't quite understand. But now that I've been doing this for a few years, now I do multiple podcasts where I talk about eating disorder recovery, intuitive eating, body acceptance, fat liberation, all of this stuff that I am still very passionate about. It just gets to be a lot. And that's not to say that I don't like certain aspects of it and that I feel like I have a voice. I want it to be heard. It can be a little bit challenging for me personally to invest so much of my heart and soul into talking about recovery and talking about my struggles. It kind of makes me stuck in that period of recovery that I feel like I am almost past. Some days I feel like I'm still in recovery. Some days I feel fully recovered. But talking about it nonstop, it can be a little challenging sometimes. So this is all to say that I'm not ending the podcast. I'm still going to do the podcast. I'm figuring out a way that I can do the podcast more regularly, but to not feel pressured to always go on a rant about diet culture or provide something valuable about intuitive eating. I do think there's a way that I can still do this podcast, but kind of pivot into slightly different content, talking more about my life that isn't so much connected to body image. And I hope that you guys will stay with me and kind of go through those growing pains with me. And that's going to be happening, you know, over the course of the next few months. I will figure out a way to do this podcast that I love so much and to interact with you guys and obviously not put content out that's in any way triggering to those who are still struggling with disordered eating, but to put out content that just generally will make you feel good. That's my goal. My goal ultimately is to entertain and, you know, sometimes to educate, but I am not a professor. I am not a dietitian or a doctor, and I'm well aware of that. I can provide my personal experience when it comes to this stuff and my life experience and my thoughts, my musings, and that is pretty much it. That's what you're getting when you tune into REP Diets. So I will keep you all abreast of the ways in which REP Diets is going to change. It'll still be the same show, but it just might not be as strictly body image related, if that makes sense. Okay, and now that I have provided that disclaimer, I have a lot of stuff that I need to talk to you guys about. The first thing that I need to talk to you about is, Alex Cooper, once again. I cannot believe I am talking about Alex Cooper for a second time in this season of RIP Diets. But, you know, to be fair, I'm not really talking about Alex Cooper. I'm talking about Megan Fox, who just appeared on Call Her Daddy very recently. I have not seen the episode. All I saw was this teaser on YouTube, And, you know, Alex Cooper, you got to hand it to her. She's very clever with what she chooses to put out there as teasers, because I can see this making a lot of people want to watch the full interview. She chooses to release Megan Fox, quote, disclosing all the plastic surgery procedures that she has had. Whew, baby. Okay, we need to dissect this because there's a lot going on. First of all, maybe pause this and go watch the teaser. It's 8 minutes long. Wow, it did not feel that long. But, oh, wow. Oh, no, it's closer to 9 minutes long. Sorry, I am looking at YouTube as I record this. First of all, she starts off by saying, I'm going to reveal all the procedures that I've had done. And, you know, I'm not going to win. You can never win. But I think it's important to reduce the stigma. You know, everything's the same now. Everything's about reducing stigma, taking away the shame and the blame and whatever. It's like, just be honest. And I don't feel like she's being honest in this clip. So right off the bat, she uses Kylie Jenner as an example. And I'm going to play this short clip.
There are some girls who have been transparent. I don't want to like bring people in, but someone like a Kylie has been very transparent.
Wait, Kylie who, Megan? What Kylie could you possibly be referring to? Do you mean Kylie Minogue? Wait, she means Kylie Jenner. She thinks that Kylie Jenner has been transparent about what she's gotten done. To my knowledge, Kylie has only admitted to lip filler and breast implants. To my knowledge, that's all she's admitted to. But come on. I feel like there's no way she can believe that Kylie has been transparent. I think they're all in this underground mafia of botched celebrities that decide, okay, transparency is telling people two of the procedures that you've had done, because that's what they all do. Megan even does it in this clip, and I will circle back to that. But Kylie, out of all the examples, Kylie, who came on the last season of the Kardashians, was like, I just feel like I got so many things done when I was young, and I feel like I'm affecting the body image of young girls. It was like she was reading off a teleprompter. And then she's like, you know, I got all this lip filler. Kylie, come on. We knew about the lip filler. What about getting your nose shaved down? What about the blepharoplasty on the eyes? What about the cheek implants, the brow lift, the fat transfers, the thread lifts on your eyebrows? How come you have those foxy little eyes? Are you part Jenner and part Fox? What about the BBL? Did she ever even admit to getting a BBL? I found this hilarious. I found this so funny that she basically discredited herself in the first 2 minutes of this clip by saying, you know, I know that other women have been transparent. Like, for example, Kylie. Kylie's been super transparent. Kylie, who woke up at the age of 19 with a new face. She's been so transparent that, 5 years later, she admitted it wasn't the lip kits. Do you remember that? Do you remember when she used her massive dick-sucking lips to sell these lip kits? And she said she denied using any lip filler at all. For years, she said, it's just the lip kits. The lip kits work their magic, ladies. And then she sold like millions of these lip kits. And then later comes out with, I was having fillers done the whole time. Wow. Round of applause, super transparent. I need to turn down these levels. I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't want to get a lawsuit from the Kardashian Jenner clan, but she has not only gotten lip fillers and breast implants, okay? I can say that very, very confidently, and I am not an expert once again. Oh, but speaking of experts, I do want to shout out, I've talked about her on the podcast before, Lori Hill. She is a creator that I absolutely love. What she does is she analyzes celebrities from different years throughout their fame, throughout their trajectory in Hollywood, if you will. And she gives her opinion. It's all opinion and it's all alleged, but she gives her opinion on what procedures they've had done. And she has quite a keen eye for the different things that celebrities have had done. And then another thing I love that she does is at the end of each video, like she'll do a video on, you know, Anya Taylor-Joy and go through everything that she thinks Anya may have had done. And then at the end, she'll add up approximations of how much these procedures cost, and she'll tell you how much it would cost for you to look like Anya Taylor-Joy. Now, obviously, if you got all the same procedures, you even then would not look like Anya Taylor-Joy, but you get my point. She shows how expensive it is to actually look like a celebrity, because based on what we see and based on what we're told, our perception is just so distorted. We look at these people like they're naturally ethereal, otherworldly beings, when really many of them have gotten plastic surgery procedures and cosmetic procedures for years and years, tiny ones that you never would know. And they're getting them very shadily, and then they'll disappear for a couple weeks and come back with, you know, slightly upturned eyes. And they'll do these procedures one by one and scatter them over the course of several years, and slowly but surely their whole face changes, but you are none the wiser. So that's why I love creators like Lori Hill, who speculate, but they speculate intelligently about what they think people have gotten done. And she put a reaction video on YouTube about this very clip. And she went through everything that she thinks Megan has had done. Oh, so spoiler alert, Megan admits to getting her boobs done, and she got them redone a couple times. So she admits to that. Although she says she's a size D cup. She either said D or double D. And as Lori pointed out in her video, her boobs are bigger than a double D. They're like an F or a G at the very least. So I don't know why she's lying about that. It's not the only thing she's lying about, though. She says she's never gotten threads. She said she only got her nose done once. Yeah, and she said she's only done fillers. I think, yeah, only done fillers and got her nose done and her boobs done. I mean, it's just really disappointing that she thinks that we believe any of this shit. And it's all under the guise of like, I'm coming forward and I'm going to be transparent. Okay. But then there's this other moment in the clip that I'm dying to talk about. There's this moment in the clip where she's talking about getting her nose done. And she's saying, you know, people think that I've gotten my nose done more times than I actually have, but it's all makeup. It's all contouring. And then suddenly she turns to a person who I can assume is her assistant or her makeup artist off camera. And she's like, oh my God, we forgot to contour my nose. The horror! We forgot to contour my nose. She's freaking out. Alex Cooper is like, wait, what? Your nose looks tiny. It looks so good. And she's like, no, 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 no. We forgot. I cannot believe I'm doing an interview without any nose contour. You should see it. You should see it when I contour my nose. I can't talk today. I'm sorry, guys. She says, you should see it when I contour my nose. I make it so tiny that it's just two little nostrils like Voldemort. I want to know how long it took for her to come up with that, and if she had it written down on a post-it note in stuffed in her bra just in case she forgot to say it. I found this moment interesting and sad. The reason why I find it sad is, oh, well, actually, I'll start with interesting. I find it interesting, first of all, because she definitely fucking has contour on her nose. She's lying. She has contour on. Come on. You don't go on Call Her Daddy and you get professional glam beforehand and they just forget to contour your nose. I think this is her deflecting. I think this is her, you know, this is a classic tell that people have, like, if you've ever watched Lie to Me, or if you've ever watched the documentaries that they have on, like, A&E about lie detector tests and, you know, catching criminals or forcing confessions. This is a tactic that many people have, that when they're talking about the thing that they don't want to be transparent about, they will suddenly deflect and you won't even know it's happening, but they'll be talking about something and then all of a sudden they're talking about something that seems related, but it's really not. And that is to kind of distract from the fact that they are a dirty little liar. So she's talking about her nose and then all of a sudden, oh, I don't have any contour in my nose. I can't believe I'm doing an interview without any contour in my nose. Oh my God. I'm pretty unhinged today, as you can tell. So I think this is her deflecting, and I think she 100% has contour on her nose. You can fucking tell by looking at the video. Maybe it's not as much as she prefers, but she definitely has contour on her nose and the rest of her face. And the other thing that I took away just from this moment is like, oh my God, how sad is it to be so focused? I mean, literally, Megan Fox is regarded as one of the hottest women on the planet and has been for over 10 years. That's being modest, you know? When did Transformers come out? I mean, almost 20 years, Megan Fox has been regarded as one of the hottest women on the planet. And here she is showing her massive insecurities on Call Her Daddy. I mean, it does, I will admit, it kind of does make her sympathetic. Like, I see myself a little bit in her, not nearly to the extent that she's hoping for, but I do see myself a little bit in that, like, I've been in that situation where I'll be out and I'll be like, oh my God, I forgot to do my eyebrows. Like, for me, it would probably be my eyebrows. Like, if I forgot to fill in the little spaces in my eyebrows, I might be talking to someone. Or, you know, actually, I mean, I do go on camera for my other podcast. Like, being on camera and then realizing, oh shit, I didn't fill in my eyebrows, and being self-conscious about that, I can definitely relate to that. But the hysteria, the I cannot believe that I would go on a YouTube video. I'm not calling Call Her Daddy a YouTube video. It's a very big podcast. And it does give you a lot of visibility, but she cannot believe that she, one of the most gorgeous, stunning, flawless, gorgeous women on the planet, doesn't have her nose contoured into Voldemort's nose on Call Her Daddy. It's just, it's funny, but it's also sad. It's really sad. And this is just not something that guys think about. Like, I wonder if Andy, if he was on a video podcast, would even put water on the top of his head to prevent a cowlick. Like, I wonder if he would even go that far. I wonder if he would even shave his neck if he was asked to be on Call Her Daddy. I wonder, you know? Remember when was it Cole Sprouse? There's two of them. Yep, it was Cole. I think he's seen as the more interesting of the Sprouse twins. Am I correct about that? I don't even fucking know. I shouldn't make claims that I can't back up on my podcast. Anyway, he was on Call Her Daddy chain smoking cigarettes. Now, okay, to be fair, now that I'm saying it, he probably thought it looked cool. So maybe actually he is as self-conscious as Megan Fox, because his version of contouring your nose into Voldemort's nose, his version of that might be chain smoking and, like, bringing, you know, cigarettes back as like, ooh, I'm edgy and artsy and so cool. So maybe that's a bad example. But my point is, a man would not freak out about this on such a massive level. And it makes me sad. It really does. But going back to Megan Fox, and then I'm going to close this chapter, she is not being transparent. So anybody who watches this episode and thinks like, oh my God, how brave, it's not. It's giving somebody a carrot, you know? She's dangling the carrot in front of us. And while she might be doing more than other celebrities who reveal absolutely nothing, she is lying by omission because she's saying, let me talk about everything I've ever had done. But then all she says is nose, boobs, and fillers. And that's just not true, okay? Look at her in Transformers and then look at her now. Her face has changed completely and it's not just fillers and Botox and a new nose. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Oh, okay. You know what? One more thing I wanted to talk about with the Call Her Daddy Megan Fox clip. And then I'll shut up about it and I won't talk about it anymore. But she does touch on, you know, oh, some people think I've gotten my butt done. Or I don't even know if she said some people think I got my butt done, but she denies it. She says, I've never had a BBL. She keeps talking about how she doesn't have enough body fat to get these things done. And it's like, all right, humble brag. Like, I would love to get my butt done. I would love to get a fat transfer, but I just don't have enough body fat. I've never had enough body fat. I know this is, you know, a little off brand for me, but I don't care. I'm letting it rip. Like, that is a hilarious thing to keep saying, like it's a sad thing. I just don't have enough body fat to get a dump truck ass. It's really upsetting. She says, and this is kind of in the same vein of deflecting away from the nose allegations with the Voldemort joke. She says, if I got a BBL, it would be the most gigantic. I mean, you wouldn't even be able to look at it in the eye. You wouldn't even be able to go near it without, you'd be like, what the fuck is that? She's painting a picture. And I think that she's being authentic here. I think this is who she is. She's painting a picture that she has this flair for dramatics, right? Like, she needs everything to be the most dramatic. If she's gonna do something, she's gonna go big. And I just find it confusing why she won't admit to, like, having all the procedures that she's had done if she is portraying herself as that kind of person and saying there's nothing wrong. Like, she doesn't think there's anything wrong with getting these surgeries. And let me co-sign that. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with getting plastic surgery or wanting a certain aesthetic. Absolutely nothing wrong. You know, this aesthetic that she seems to really like, this exaggerated Amanda Lepore kind of cartoonish Jessica Rabbit look, that is definitely a look, and it's one that has become very popular in the past 5 years, 10 years. We call it Instagram face. And this is what, you know, everybody in our feed seems to look like now. And they're doing it with Facetune. And some people will even go into plastic surgeons' offices and show filters that they want to look like. I mean, it's definitely a thing. And if she wants to look like that, more power to her. But, you know, these jokes that she keeps making, I feel like she's covering up this deep sadness with humor. You know, if I'm going to do something, it's going to stop you in your fucking tracks. It's almost like it's not even about looking good. It's about making an impact with dad ass. Like, the way she's talking about it, you know? And once again, definitely a look, but I don't think it's a look that's going to age well. And to a certain degree, it's like, fuck it. You know, it's kind of a similar mentality. You know, I know Megan Fox has tattoos, and I find that somebody who has a lot of tattoos is a similar type of person, if not the same type of person, as somebody who freely gets plastic surgery, because they live in the now. And there's something kind of beautiful about that. But then if you dig a little deeper, I think there's something a little bit sad about it, in that it's like, I need to draw as much attention to myself as possible, because that's a way to get validation, and that's a way to feel beautiful, is by getting that validation. And that's a way that I've lived in the past. I think sometimes I still feed into that feedback loop of male validation equals I'm beautiful equals I'm worthy. But I think that's what's underneath a lot of this. And I've already said it, you know, 10 times, but there's nothing inherently wrong with that. Like, if that's the look that you like, great. But we can also dig a little bit deeper and say, like, well, is it because we really like it, or is it because we think men like it? So then over the years, we have developed the same taste because we see ourselves through the lens of the male gaze. And that's something that I'm always looking for in these conversations. And I'm always kind of trying to be conscious of, because I don't want to live for male validation. And Megan Fox, you know, she's rich and famous and stunning and flawless, and she can do whatever the fuck she wants. And my opinion doesn't matter to Megan Fox. But I think it's emblematic of something larger that's going on in the culture. And I just, I want to get down to the bottom of why that is and how we can unravel this, because male validation can only get you so far. It's not going to actually make you feel good about yourself. The people who get procedures just because they want to be more attractive to men, they always end up getting more procedures, because these procedures are addictive in and of themselves, and we're stuck in that feedback loop of validation until we go too far, and then we become a Meg Ryan, and then people start making fun of us and laughing at us and not acknowledging why we went and got these procedures in the first place, you know, to stay relevant and to stay beautiful and to stay youthful, because that's so, so important for a woman, you know? So it's not that I am against people doing what they want to do to their bodies, but I'm always looking for the why underneath, you know? And that is all I have to say about that. Okay. Now, quickly onto some food news, and this is very important food news, and I would not bring it up if it was not important. I don't remember if I talked about this, but we all know by now that Klondike discontinued the Choco Taco, and it was a dark time for all of us who loved the Choco Taco. I wore black for weeks. I was eating plain vanilla ice cream out of a bowl like a plebeian. And it was a very upsetting time. But now there's a little bit of hope, because Taco Bell, in a collaboration with Salt and Straw, which is, you know, this artisanal ice cream place, they are bringing back a version of the Choco Taco this summer. Just yet another reason why we can all look forward to summer. Coming this summer to all Scoop shops and online for nationwide shipping. Buy yourself some Choco Tacos in bulk, people. Hand-pressed waffle cones, fresh-made cinnamon ancho ice cream dipped in single-origin chocolate and studded with toasted brown rice. So this is an artisanal Choco Taco, but I still fuck with this. It sounds really good to me. And it's served with 3 custom sauce packets and a tangy cheesecake dip. Stay tuned for more details. Oh, I will stay tuned for more details. And I will be procuring one of these Choco Tacos, and I will be talking about it. The Choco Taco had to come back in some way, shape, or form, because it's such a nostalgic treat for so many people. And there was such an outpouring of just sadness and appreciation for the Choco Taco when they announced that it was being discontinued. So I knew that somebody would bring back a version. I've already seen people on Instagram making their own versions of Choco Tacos, like handmade Choco Tacos. And I enjoy watching them, but I'll never actually do it. And that's how I feel about Instagram recipes in general. It's funny, you know, sometimes I'll log into Instagram and I'll see a video and it'll be like 3 ingredient lasagna, like, let's call it that. And the caption will be like, the easiest lasagna you'll ever make. And I swear to fucking God, by step 2, I'm exhausted. And that's a testament to what a shitty, lazy cook I am. But all I have to see is somebody chopping up a pound of onions for me to immediately block. Like, I tune out at that point. I don't want to chop onions anymore. And I was thinking I should probably go to Trader Joe's and just get the pre-chopped onions, because I'm immediately out when I see somebody chopping onions. I'm just not doing it. I'm not doing it. I refuse. Okay, now I'm trying to figure out what else I should talk about, because I went on and on about the Megan Fox thing. But I was dying to talk about it. But one more thing, and then I'm going to save the rest for next week. And this is a sign that I need to be doing this podcast more often because I do have a lot to say. Okay. So this is actually from 2018, but it resurfaced this week. You know how little pop culture moments are given a new life every few years. This was an interview that Julia Roberts did with Oprah, not my favorite person this week. Hit me with your thoughts on the Oprah Ozempic special and tune into DST to hear us talk about it. I am not going to be talking about it twice. But this interview with Oprah resurfaced. It's from 2018. And Julia Roberts was talking about this Instagram post that her niece, Emma Roberts, did you know they were related? I did, and I think also everybody else did. But in case you didn't, they are aunt and niece. And a few years ago, Emma posted a photo of her and Aunt Julia playing cards. And I'm trying to figure out what they're playing, and I can't figure it out. Do you think it's bridge? I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I don't know what bridge is. I just know it's something that people play. And I'm looking at the positions of these cards, and I have no idea what fucking game they're playing. Maybe they're playing something of their own creation. But anyway, this interview resurfaced and she was saying, yeah, so actually, you know, let me read it. One weekend morning, Emma slept over and we got up and we were having tea and playing cards and having this beautiful morning. And then a couple of days later, she posted a picture of us. And the number of people who felt absolutely required to talk about how terrible I looked in the picture, that I'm not aging well, that I look like a man. Why would she even post a picture like this when I look that terrible? And I was amazed at how that made me feel. I'm a 50-year-old woman and I know who I am, and still my feelings got hurt. I was sad that people couldn't see the point of it, the sweetness of it, the absolute shining joy of that photo. I thought, what if I was 15? She continued, I was so happy that happened because I had this whole new glimpse into a way of living that I didn't get at all. You have to go through things to understand them. And this was just a little paper cut of what can really go on with social media. Now, I would implore you to Google the photo. It is a super cute photo. I've heard that Emma Roberts is a huge bitch. And I've also heard that Julia Roberts back in her heyday was a nightmare to be around on set. But mean people can still have fun times with their family too. And they're just as meaningful, I think. So first of all, I think she looks great in this photo. I mean, she's obviously not wearing makeup. She's made down. Emma looks like she just woke up. I mean, they're cute. They're cute women. But I think what she said, it was a little bit funny to me because I'm like, oh, how lovely for you that you don't have to be on social media. You know, a lot of people who are in Hollywood, even at 50 years old, they feel pressured to be on social media. But since Julia Roberts made it before the age of social media, she doesn't really need to participate in this on a large scale, you know. But I do think that the lesson she learned from this photo and from the way that people ripped her appearance apart for having this unfiltered, makeup-free moment with her niece and documenting it, daring to document it, or even, you know, people suggesting that Emma did Julia dirty with this photo. I mean, it's absurd. And I thought it was really spot on how she said, you know, I'm 50 and I'm really happy with myself. I've gotten to this place where I feel good about myself and I have confidence and I know who the fuck I am. But seeing those comments really made me depressed, and it gave me a little window into what teenagers and young people are going through now on social media and how you just are set up to feel awful about yourself. I thought that was a really nice little moment. I know that a lot of people related to the message, and I hope that we get to a place where we feel better about sharing unfiltered photos and makeup-free photos. I mean, I'm not going to call it brave because she still looks better than 70% of the population in this photo, even not at her best, you know? But I thought that was a nice little moment and a little window into, like, these revelations that celebrities have when they're so out of touch with reality and they're so out of touch with the way that the rest of us experience the world. And I thought that was a cute little humbling moment that she shared. And it did make me tear up, but I also had my period. So I don't know if it was 90% my period and 10% the sentiment or the other way around, but it did make me feel things. And am I a little embarrassed for admitting that? Yeah, a teensy bit, but also I fucking love Julia Roberts. She was the queen of the 90s. I will always have a soft spot in my heart for Julia Roberts, even though I have since learned that she was not ever asked to be in a film by the same director a second time. Am I making that up? I don't think I am. I think I read a blind item about it. But anyway, I'm going to stop rambling. This is the sign of good things to come for the podcast. And I don't know what that's going to look like moving forward, but as always, you can follow me on social media. I'm at Lubination, and the Instagram for the podcast is RIP Diets. Or you can email me with thoughts, opinions, reactions, questions, advice, what have you, at ripdiets@gmail.com. And while you're at it, if you like this episode, write a review, share it with a friend. Spread the love, spread the positivity. I don't make money on this podcast, but I would love to someday. And then maybe at that point, I'll actually be responsible about my job. I love you guys. I will be back in your ear holes soon enough. Soon enough. And until then, peace, love, and RIP diets.